This week's show is sponsored by Wellness Core.
People often think of dogs as always being in competition with one another, hence the phrase, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
But dogs also live in social groups, and they're pack animals.
Some dogs are renowned for being cooperative with humans.
Other dogs, perhaps your own, are renowned for their lack of cooperation.
But what does the science say? Is there such a thing as a selfless dog?
Or is every dog secretly a bit of a prick?
Do your dogs cooperate?
Yeah, they do some funny things.
What do they do?
I noticed one the other week. My house is like used to be two houses, but there's like a little bit in the middle that connects them as one. And that's generally like me dog room. They'll just chill in there when we're out and about and we're busy. Lenny, the newest dog, the terrier, he can't open the door. It's a bit heavy. So really quickly, I noticed that he'll look for Ralph and Flint to nudge the door with the nose. And as soon as they do that, he'll run between the front legs and beat them to it.
Jimmy and Luther do a version of that. So Jimmy's too short to reach door handles, but Luther's not. So Luther will jump up and open the door handle, but he can't quite get it open.
Yeah.
So he'll jump up and push the door handle down, but then Jimmy will reach his paw round and pull the door
Jimmy
open.
Will shimmy.
Jimmy will shimmy.
Yeah, yeah.
And between them, they allow Red out first because they're gentlemen.
We had to change Logan's crate from a young age because he's got weird, dexterous little toes. And what he worked out is, he see that scene in Jurassic Park with the raptors when they go around like this and start trying with the handle? That's what I watched them. And he put his little toes out and start wiggling the lock. And he was getting out the crate.
No
I was
way.
Like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. So
he
can't now, he's in Fort Knox.
Can dogs cooperate to solve a problem? In one study, dogs had to figure out how to pull out a box on a platform to try and get a treat. Now, to do this, they had to pull on two ends of a rope at the same time. There was an alone version where the dog could pull both ends themselves, and a cooperative version where the rope ends were too far apart for a dog to manage alone. Dogs were paired with other dogs and people to see if they could cooperate with other dogs as well as humans. They found dogs managed to solve the problem on their own in the alone task, and they could also cooperate with both other dogs and people to do it too, even when there was a delay that meant they had to wait for their partner to get in position before they pulled. They could still cooperate. There was a level of understanding of the problem, and dogs were able to adapt what they did based on what their partner was doing. The fact they could do this with two different species suggests that there might be a link with domestication. So they are truly cooperating rather than just selfishly learning their part. Dogs definitely weren't selfish in this. They were team players.
Okay.
Has your dog ever solved a problem?
Yeah, my dog solved loads and loads of problems. Basically, when you're doing any sort of free shaping, well, as you know yourself, if you're doing any free shaping with an animal where you're asking them to figure out that their own behaviour leads to a given consequence, a given reward. A lot of learning involves problem solving, doesn't it?
Yeah, the foundations of actually teaching your dog anything is teaching them to be inquisitive for, you know, what do you want? What do you want from me?
And I was quite interested in this study to see that even though the dogs would have the motivation, they could still recognise when they had to wait. So that impulse control was there. So when they had to wait for their other partner to get there before they started to pull, they could still do it. It wasn't just that they were so motivated, they went and started to pull on the rope and then it wouldn't come out. They actually had that self-control. Impulse control will differ between dogs as well, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd sort of like wonder whether or not it was cooperation as such to achieve the goal, or whether when you add another dog into the environment, then you're creating competition so that you have one resource, which is the rope, with two ends on it. One dog picks up one end, just like you would a branch. If the dogs are out and one dog picks up a branch and the others run over and grab hold of it and run together.
Yeah.
So whether there's that sort of like, there's also the aspect of it, if you look at dogs as wolves, you know, pre-dogs as wolves or whatever, and how they would work together to be able to pull apart, you know, a carcass fleece, things like
true.
That. So here you've got two dogs grabbing hold of rope to pull, and it just so happens that it leads to the reward.
But then why would dogs evolve to work with humans? Because they cooperated well with humans too.
Well, I would
selectively bred them, didn't we, to do that?
Yeah.
Another thing I'd take into consideration as well is genetic disposition in the dogs. If them dogs are a couple of terriers, then they're going to be more inclined to grab and tug on a rope than you would say like a Shar Pei or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
The evolutionary point is interesting. How is studying wolves relevant to learning about dogs? One study looked at that specifically, and they wanted to know whether dogs are better at working together with humans compared to wolves. The experiment setup was quite similar to the previous studies, needing two ends of a rope to be pulled at the same time to try and get a food reward. In some trials, either the human or the animal would arrive first, having the choice of which rope to pull. They found that both wolves and dogs did well when they were cooperating with a human partner, but wolves succeeded in more. Wolves outperformed dogs when they arrived first at the task as well. Wolves tended to take the lead with humans, whereas the dogs would usually wait for humans to initiate the task. So we know from this that dogs might have been selectively bred for traits that reduce conflict over resources. And they're traits that would promote living together and cooperating with humans, meaning the humans would lead and the dogs would then follow. And the domestication process actually likely favoured dogs with more submissive characteristics.
That makes complete sense.
It does to me.
Yeah, you know, wolves are a pack animal. They've not been, you know, tinkered with. Maybe not at all, but to suit whatever agenda we have. And they're more likely that, well, it's in their interest and their genetics to be able to work together and coexist and solve problems as a part of that. Whereas dogs have been bred to follow and look in and work with us, haven't they? And we naturally would select more submissive dogs because they're much easier to train.
Yeah, I'd say dogs is like taking your wolf and doing a Benjamin Button and saying, I want to keep you as a permanent infant. Yeah, you know, so you'll never reach that sort of level of intelligent maturity that you'd see in a wolf.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so wolves obviously would perform better than a dog would in the situation.
Yeah, and this study for me challenged the idea that dogs are more socially adept than wolves as well.
With people or with one another?
Either, really. I mean, the fact here that the wolves were more willing to take the lead rather than the dogs was really interesting to me.
I would expect that. You're talking about a species that has to make decisions for itself and has no influence from anything else other than survival and instinct. So the breathing of dogs will be, I'll do this. What are they doing? Are they coming with me? What's got, you know, it doesn't surprise me that at all. Yeah. It really doesn't.
But we're always thinking of dogs being the more social animals, particularly with humans here. Yeah. But the wolves were really willing to step up to the plate and go, no, I'll cooperate with you. And by the way, human, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. And I expect an element of that as well, because after all, dogs are here because there were certain wolves that wanted to cooperate with people. You know what I mean? So that's the reason why they're there. Have you ever been to a wolf sanctuary?
No,
are they captive? Sorry, are they captive wolves? Do we know?
Yeah, it was like a wolf sanctuary.
A wolf park.
Yeah.
I've been to a wolf sanctuary. It was a really good day out. There's loads of stuff I learned. I watched a great example of enrichment with wolves. Have you seen it? If you spray, like they have this thing where they have rags and you spray like a deodorant on them or an aftershave and you chuck it in and the wolves like dart to it and start rolling, you know, like your dog rolls around and fuck. They start doing that to the point where you can see the hierarchy, like the other wolves would come over and they get their fill and they take the turns and it was unbelievable to watch.
But that turn taking is a form of cooperation.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating how they do that. Do you think that dogs are too reliant on people to solve their problems?
I think it depends on the individual. Like, yeah, for example...
On the individual person or the individual dog?
Well, both, I suppose. Yeah.
Useless human, and I'm not relying on you.
So an example would be...
I didn't mean you, Jay.
Yes. Accurate, but accepted.
If you... A gun dog is more likely to wanting to work with a person. That's what they train them for. So, you know, if you send a gun dog to retrieve from 100 metres every time... You send your dog to a strange environment and around 100 metres, they will stop and check in, won't they, all the time? So if it fails gun dog training, you move it over to like a search dog. If you're searching in a proactive role where they're out to on their own, they're searching rooms and things like that, it works well. But with a passive role, it might not, because they're kind of in between. They should be, a passive role means searching people. So they're supposed to be there. Oh, I've found it. I'll sit here. What a lot of them can be, I'll check a few, but then I'll check in with you. And they're not quite on task.
So there are circumstances then where you'd want the dog to take the lead.
Sometimes you want anything, a bit more self-employed,
where you're using search capacity, you know, the dog, will take a bit of instruction and guidance from you. Yeah. But ultimately, of course, you take the lead. When we talk about, you know, are dogs reliant on humans? You only need to look at feral dogs or semi-feral dogs, you know, street dogs in other parts of the world that fend perfectly well for themselves. But humans decide that you're not fending that well for yourself. You can fend better for yourself if I scoop you up and put you into my world and my environment where I can make you dependent upon me. Just because we've domesticated an animal doesn't mean that it's not beyond capable of living without our input.
Everyone thinks everything's so black and white. when it comes to dogs, like since they debunked the whole alpha role and it was the parents of the wolves and all that, that naturally transitioned into dogs and everyone thinks they've got the answers. But you, the same kind of structure that you see in that wolf sanctuary when they threw, because that piece of enrichment cloth with aftershave on, that's a resource. Mm. And what you're seeing was lower ranking wolves trying to get a bit and the stronger wolves were deterring them and saying, I'm not done.
Yeah.
Do you want? And then when I'm done, you can have a go. And we say dogs are different, but anyone who has a multiple dog household, you will see a hierarchy at some point. This whole idea that, oh, they're nothing like that, it's nonsense. Like anyone who truly watches dogs, you will see that in the house. Right. I see it the other day with Ralph having a drink and Lenny come over and the water must have been he doesn't do it when it's full because the water was getting low. Now it's a valuable resource. Yeah. He's not thinking ahead and going, oh, he'll fill it up again. But Lenny come over for a drink and he just went, Lenny went, oh, walked away. And then when he'd finished, it was empty. Lenny run over and I filled it again. And then he had a drink. Lenny had a drink. And then while Ralph come over, Lenny left them to have finish off his drink and come back. So they're learning how to interact without any clashing of heads. You know what I mean? That is what you will see in a pack of wolves. You will see them coexist and learn to get along.
Mm. But I suppose my question is, are dogs always cooperative like that? No. Or do you actually have some that are just truly selfish, nasty, mean doggies?
I wouldn't say that there's
I think all dogs are selfish. They all
they're just surviving.
They live to better their own situations, and you know they don't have the influences that we have. You know, like I really want that, but it might make them feel like this. They don't have any of that. It's like if it brings me joy, I'd do it. If it doesn't, I won't. And then the kind of working together aspect is when they're around each other a lot, and more often than not, it usually involves a bit of communication of you need to back away and you need to do that. And we all kind of work out what we're supposed to do. Do you know what I mean?
Just like within a family, it's normal. There's structure, isn't there? It's the same with the dogs as well. So a lot of the time, people can have their dogs, and perhaps if they've got two dogs or three dogs, and they'll think, no, that's not fair. Share nicely. And if one dog, generally the senior dog, is the one, as long as it's fit and healthy, is the one that sort of like tends to think, I'm going to take control of this bowl because I'm the older dog and you can wait your turn. And people think you're pushing them out. But let them in. Don't do that. Yeah. Let the dogs form their structure.
Yeah. That's the biggest cause of dog-on-dog aggression in the household.
Yeah.
If I left a wellness chew treat in my dog room and left all my dogs to roam, if it was Lenny, Ralph and Flint, Lenny and Flint wouldn't have nothing. Ralph would take it all off them. Mm. If I left it in the room with Logan involved, Logan would be that dog. And him and Ralph would probably have a squabble over that. Dogs don't think, oh, I've got mine. Oh, you've got yours. He'll take it off him. You know what I mean?
That's a brilliant point. Because what we're talking about here is dogs that will work with another dog to get something for themselves. What we're not talking about is dogs cooperating and then sharing stuff equally.
Yeah. That's what you see on social media. Yeah. That's what people want to see.
Yeah, that's what they want to see. But you even take that to a wolf pack. They will work together to bring down prey. But as soon as it's brought down, right, sling your hook, it's my turn, it's your turn, it's the structure kicks in, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm just glad we were more cooperative with our tapas than dogs are with a carcass.
Yeah, that was only because it was a bit though. If it's a better one, you'll see the wolf within me. This week's show is sponsored by Wellness Core. As an owner, picking what food to give your dog is one of the biggest decisions you'll make for them. So why should you pick Wellness Core? All recipes are protein rich, made of natural ingredients and grain free, so there is no filler. Just well-balanced, tasty meals. Wellness Core Senior is developed to meet the specific requirements of aging pets, with increased protein to support lean muscle mass for continued mobility. Someone grab me a bowl of that. Find the perfect core recipe for your dog and have it delivered to your front door by clicking the link in the description.
Generalized reciprocity is when someone is helpful to you, so you're helpful then to somebody else. Direct reciprocity is when someone is helpful to you and you're helpful back, but only if it's that person. And that's considered a bit more challenging because you've got to remember whether that person helped you and then decide whether to help or not. This study was interested in whether a dog would only help you if you've helped them first. And they took Belgian Shepherd dogs from the Swiss military and they were trained to pull a platform with a rope to get food either for themselves or for a social partner. And the research tested both direct and generalized reciprocity by observing whether dogs would reciprocate help after they were helped or not by their partner. And they found dogs were more likely to help a partner if they'd previously been helped themselves, but it didn't have to be from a specific partner. They were helped by anyone. So that suggests a generalized approach. If someone is helpful to the dog, they'll be helpful to someone else.
If the help to the dog has aided the dog to have a good outcome, then it would make complete sense that the dog goes back.
Yeah.
you know, to achieve that outcome. Whether or not they're going, I'm not going to say you've scratched my back, I'm scratching yours. I wouldn't go down that path, me. Like, but what else are we saying?
I think it would be helpful for dogs to cooperate unconditionally, bearing in mind they're social animals. They operate in a pack. For them to generally be helpful, generally to each other, rather than going, I'll help you because you helped me before. But you, I think you're a bit of a selfish so-and-so, and then I'm not going to bother. I think actually there's an evolutionary advantage to that.
I've just got this vision of these scientists in a room going, I'm going to help you. Here's a ball. And the dog brings it back and they go, oh, you've helped me and give me a ball. Do you know what I mean? No, mate. Throw the ball again.
Yeah. Is it helping or controlling?
Yeah. Who's training who?
Yeah. Have you ever had a really uncooperative dog?
Yeah, Logan.
Oh, yeah.
Logan was a nightmare. The biggest one with Logan was, I knew if I didn't get him retrieving, there's no way you could take things out of his mouth when he was a juvenile. He got them. It's in his genetics. He's very, very possessive. He's a proper dog.
Yeah.
And when I threw anything for Logan, he had absolutely zero instinct to retrieve it back to me. He'd just grip it, lay down and look at you.
Yeah.
So I had to do a forced retrieve with him. I had to do a forced retrieve. I got it back. And now as a conditioned response, what goes there comes back here. And I had to build on that. And then gradually from there, if I threw it in the field, he'd bring it back. And then we change the context again. It just become a conditioned response. But without actually having to aid that, that would never have happened.
Do you think that with Logan, he would be only helpful if you've already helped him? Do you think that he would be more like a direct reciprocity?
Yeah, it's hard. You'd have to give me context to it. Like,
I don't know.
He's very aloof as a character, Logan.
Yeah, I'd say
he's a dominant dog. Very rare. It's very rare. But I would, in other words, like, you know, he does what he wants, and it's took a lot of work for him to accept that, you know, you have to take guidance, you have to do these things. Yeah, he was a difficult dog to train.
The reason I'm saying is there could be a link to intelligence here, because if dogs are using generalized reciprocity, that's a really general rule of thumb kind of decision rule, if you like. It's dead easy, it's dead straightforward. You don't have to think much, you don't have to remember much. It's just, you know, low brain power requirement. Whereas if you're thinking more about direct reciprocity, you've got to remember those interactions, you've got to apply a different rule to different people or, you know, different dogs. So it takes more brain power. Interestingly, humans and monkeys are more likely to use that general rule of thumb and be generally cooperative, but Norway rats, of all species, very specific, tended to help only those who'd already helped them.
Context, everything. How are you helping me if I'm helping you? In terms of teaching them to cooperate, that was what that was about. So if I threw that ball for Logan before we had to work through that and he lay and held it, the more I went, come on, the more he'd get rigid and you'd see it in him. Like, if you took that ball, he'd have you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we had to take it back and get rid of that. But otherwise, I'm not seeing the context of, how would he just help me if I'm helping him?
I think it's very easy to fall into a trap of thinking that they are. So let's say that I say, I'm going to help you, but I'm going to go and get you your bowl of food. I'm then going to close the door to the room and I'm going to go out and I'm going to come back in again and I'm going to pick up your bowl and you're going to go over and you're going to jump and you're going to push the door open for me so that I can now go and get your bowl of food. I helped perception. You helped me. Mm-hmm. It is perception. Yeah, yeah, it's individual.
I did the same thing with the front door.
Individual interpretation of what you're seeing.
I absolutely do. And Logan is that dog that gets onto that quick, but it's not that he's trying to help me. He's just, everything is 100 mile an hour because of his drive. So I could perceive that he's helping me, because when I let him out, I go, there you go, mate. When I go out, I never leave the door closed. I just leave it ajar. This is just from taking for a quick wee. And when we go back in, he runs in. He waits for me. When I've caught up, he'll nudge the door and we go in. Now I could perceive that as, oh, I opened the door for you and you opened it for me.
That's true. I like this topic. Anyway, what about the listener questions? What have we got?
So question one is from Bryn in Penisawain in Wales. Sometimes my dog just ignores me. I call their name and they can clearly hear me. Sometimes their ears prick up, but they ignore me. Is this normal? Are they tired maybe and just want to be left alone?
But on paper, they're ignoring you, but it goes deeper than that. Your dog doesn't just go, oh, I can't be bothered today. The reality of it is that behaviour is not instilled to the point where the dog is just going to do it. The dog's probably more interested in something it has or the environment that it's in. The language in that of ignoring me is what I would address as a dog trainer, because when you think something's ignoring you, It gets you frustrated and angry, and dogs aren't ignoring you like your kids might. They just don't think like that. The reality of it is, when you call them back, you're not that important, or the environment's more important. So you just need to train through it.
choosing to ignore you is not something that the dog does.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is either you're not motivating enough or the environment is more motivating than you. Or it's a new context and the dog isn't able to take what you think they understand across multiple different environments and understand it in this one. Go back a little bit, expect a little bit less, help the dog to understand that what you want in this environment is exactly the same as the previous one, and then you'll have a dog that doesn't ignore you, providing the reason for responding to your command is strong enough.
The dog's not doing it from a I'm going to be a little shit perspective. The dog's just being a dog. Like, it doesn't suit me. I'm not doing it. Like I said before, your dog lives to better their own situation. Why would I come to you off the couch when the couch is really comfortable? So you have to incentivize me. You have to say, well, if you come to me, then this happens. And then in some cases, you might have to say, if you don't, then this happens.
So it's not that the dog is being selfish. It's just that it hasn't learned how to cooperate in that context.
The dog's
yet.
Just being a dog.
Nice. Next question.
Question two is from Vicky in East Yorkshire. My dog has really bad separation anxiety, and it's starting to cause an issue with my neighbours. I've always kept dogs, and this is the first time I've ever experienced it, and I'm not sure what I might have done differently to trigger it. What are the causes, and what can I do to solve it?
Right, so separation anxiety is not innate in dogs. It's created by people. You go back years ago, and dogs never had separation anxiety because they were treated more like dogs. And when I say that, they weren't babied, they weren't with you 24/7, and the general view towards dogs wasn't as it is now. The biggest way to prevent separation anxiety is just allow adequate time for your dog to be alone and just relax. When your dog's reliant on you all the time and has to be with you all the time, you take that away, and then you're going to have a problem because your dog's now adapting to an environment that it's not familiar with, being by themselves. Breathing's a lot different than it was years ago. There's a lot more money in dogs, so temperaments are different. And when you've got dogs that aren't really, let's say, emotionally as put together as they used to be, they're more likely to be affected by you flooding them with affection and displacing your own feelings of emotion on them all the time when they haven't learned to adequately cope by themselves.
Danny, cooperate with me. What are your final thoughts?
I like what you did there,
thanks.
Jay.
You see how I linked everything in?
Yeah.
Lovely.
So it seems that the studies conclude that dogs can work together pretty well, but unfortunately not as well as wolves. So team dog better up the game, because then wolves found the ways into that box much quicker. So get that dog working on your box.
See you next week.